If you would like to turn your Bible to Ephesians 3, which is on page 1174. So that's Ephesians 3, page 1174. I'll read this to you, then we'll begin. It says, Paul, the preacher to the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it was now being revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past has kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So let's just take a moment as we pray. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings life. Thank you, Lord, that your word empowers your people to be and do what you've called us to. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would take these words and bring them to life, Lord. I pray that you would help us to capture your heart and not just words. That we would hear a resonance, Lord, of you speaking to us this morning. And so pray, Lord, that you would come now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this morning, the title of my talk is called Outsiders Welcomed In. And it's a part of four things I'm going to speak about over the next few weeks, which are going to highlight to us God's call upon Core Church and what God has called us to do. And so outsiders welcomed in. So Paul was called by God as... It says he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. So Paul was called by God to preach to those who are the Gentiles. In this particular case, he's in prison, and he's written a letter to the Ephesians, in which I'll explain a little bit more in a moment. Paul's background is this. He says this in Galatians. I want you to know, brothers, the gospel I preach to you is not something made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. If you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous to the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And so Paul's background is one, he was a Jew. He was like the Jew of the Jews. He was a man zealous for his people. And because of that, when the message of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, he became a persecutor of the church because he believed that Jewish tradition was the way, and it's the only way that God would speak and move through his people. But by God's grace, Paul was set apart by God to become a preacher to the Gentiles. And if you understand what an incredible turnaround that is, he's from a Jewish revolutionary preoccupied with the concerns of Israel and the Jewish people, to becoming a man after God's heart, preoccupied with those who weren't within the Jewish family, that he wanted to preach to them and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus' ministry was different from Paul's. Jesus was called primarily to call back the lost sheep of Israel. And in his training up with the apostles, he sent the 12 out with these instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So Jesus' primary focus, Jesus' primary call, was to come to Israel and call back the people to relationship with God. But we see in Jesus' ministry a glimpse of God's bigger plan. And in Matthew 15, we see this story of the woman called the Canaanite woman. It says this: leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And the daughter was healed from that very hour. See, Jesus came to preach to those in Israel, to call them back into relationship with God. So his primary objective was to preach and minister to the Jews, to convert them, to bring them back into relationship with God. The Canaanite woman, who was not a Jew, who was outside Jesus' remit, came to him saying, "My daughter is demon-possessed. Can you heal her?" And Jesus was taken aback by this request, because she was a Canaanite woman, and it was an unexpected request he wasn't waiting for. He said to her, just to make sure she understood who he was and what he came to, he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And then the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And so the woman came to Jesus in great humility. And he replied, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs?" "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And so in this story, we get indication God has called to the Jewish people. But through this woman's humility, through this woman's coming before Jesus, his heart is moved. And because of her great faith, that she knew that Jesus could heal her daughter, Jesus responded to her request and healed her daughter. And so we get a glimpse in Jesus' ministry of God's biggest plan. In the wedding banquet, which you see in Matthew 22, we see that an invitation is sent out to the Jewish people, basically. And they were welcomed into the big banquet, but they're too busy. They had other things to do. They're preoccupied with things in their lives. And so God says, extend that invitation. Go to the byways, go to the highways, go to those who are outcasts and bring them in. For if they won't come, these people will. And so we get an indication of Jesus' ministry, a glimpse of the bigger plan. And so when Jesus' death and resurrection upon the cross, the plan, God's bigger plan, is ushered in. And Jesus, and Paul is commissioned by God to execute the plan and call the Gentiles into his glorious inheritance. And so if we go into Ephesians 3, Paul is the preacher of the Gentiles. Paul is preaching gospel for the sake of the Gentiles. And Paul has been called with a specific message for them. It says this: "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men, other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And so Paul says, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me. In other words, surely you must have heard of this message that I have, that this mystery that was given to me by revelation by God, and it's a mystery in which I've been called in this generation to share what God is intending to do. It wasn't known in a generation before. It was in the will of God for this generation and for the time to come. And what is the mystery? Well, the mystery is this. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And in the message, it puts it in a very good way. It says this: only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer of help, the same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. And so what is it saying in this? Is that Gentiles are to share the same inheritance as the Jews. Through the gospel, Gentiles are heirs together with the Jews. They are going to become, through the message that Paul has preached, through Jesus dying upon the cross, they will become full members of the family of God with the same privileges. Do you understand what that means? We are no longer on the outside. We're welcomed in to the promises of God. We become members together of one body. So in other words, the Gentiles no longer are second-class citizens. They have the same inheritance as those who are from the Jews. They're also sharers together in the promises in Jesus Christ. So they have an equal share in the promises that have been made to Abraham and his family, and are now ours. And it says in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And when you read this, you hear in Paul's message, he can hardly wait for this message to be known. Even within the prison, even within the confines of his jail, the joy resonates through this letter. The good news is that the outsiders are to be welcomed in. They're welcomed in, they're to become heirs together. They are no longer second-class citizens, but they're equal members of God's family. It's great news, isn't it? It's amazing news. That no longer are we separate from God, but through Christ's death upon the cross, we're welcomed in to the promises of Christ. And that's what we've been called to inherit. Let me explain what this means. A number of years ago, I can't exactly remember what it is, it's probably about 8 or 9 years ago, my family used to live in Chorley Wood. My brother and sister and me had left home a long time ago, and mum and dad were still at Chorley Wood, and my dad was working on staff there. One night, I happened to be over there because I hadn't seen my mum and dad for a while, so I knocked on the door, went in, you know, to catch up with them. And it must have been about 10 o'clock at night, and there's a knock on the door. And I went to the door, and there was the youth worker from the church, and with him were four young people. He said, is your dad in? I said, yeah, come in. So they all came in, and we sat down in the lounge together, and we had coffee, and we just sat. And the youth worker had shared with our family that their mum had just been murdered by their father. And the youth worker, obviously shocked by this, didn't know what to do. So he came to our house, and so they're welcomed in. And so that night, my mum said, well, obviously we want to look after these children, so it'll be good for them, you know, to stay here tonight. So they made up beds for them, and they stayed that evening. But over the next couple of days, the Lord spoke to my father and said, you know, I want you to look after these kids. I want them to be part of your family. And so he came to us one day and said that, he said, I just really believe the Lord wants us to look after these children. And so that's what they did. And so they brought them into the home. There's four of them. One was, at the beginning, was age 12, then 14, then about 17, then one, and then about 18, 19. I can't remember exactly the age, but that's kind of the broad range. And so they're welcomed into our family. But and so they were staying with us, and they're obviously quite traumatized. They've been through, obviously, losing their mother, also losing their father, who was now in prison waiting to be tried. And so they were coming into the family. They've been through all sorts of things in their family, from sexual abuse, goodness knows what else they've been through. So they're quite traumatized kids. And so over a period of time, there was a kind of settling in process where they were obviously shocked. They're going through pain, through trauma, through grief, and all those kind of things. And over a period of time, the mum and dad staying up late into the night, being with them, praying with them, and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so this happened for a number of months where they're at my mum and dad's house. And one evening, I think it was, or early evening, I went round to see mum and dad. My brother was there, and we're sitting outside in the garden. It's a lovely summer's evening. We're sitting around the table. We're having a drink. And while we're sitting there, my dad said to me, he goes, by the way, we're going to adopt the kids. And I thought, my heart sunk. No. And you see, I've been brought up in a family where my dad's been in ministry for years, and I've had to share my family with everybody. And so for me, it's like, oh no, please, you know. But as I thought that, I didn't say it, I thought it. The Lord said to me, you've been adopted into my family. And immediately, within a time frame of, oh my gosh, this is unfair, I suddenly realised, actually, I've been adopted into God's family. And so immediately, my heart changed. I suddenly realised that we've got to do this. And so suddenly, from being people who had come through our door, not knowing them very well, their status was going to change forever, because they were going to become adopted into our family. And the implications for the future is that it would never be the same. And even though we'd left home for a significant period of time, it's a huge transition to have a new family becoming part of your family, taking on your name, taking on your parents, taking on your inheritance, taking on all the things that I thought were mine. And this is what Paul is preaching. And you see, when we brought on the kids, the relationship changed from visitor or guest to that of family member with all the rights of the family. And when you welcome in a new family member, it means change. When the new family came in, they had different ways of seeing things and doing things. We kind of thought the Kissels kind of knew how to do these kind of things. We kind of thought that we had a way of understanding life. But you suddenly get a different family in your family, and suddenly they have a different way of seeing the same thing. And so you have to learn to work it out as a family. My dad was very annoyed to find Bianca, the youngest one, sitting on his chair. My mum was quite annoyed when Bruce was lying down on the sofa with his feet up with his trainers on. We were told not to do that in our family, but in their family, it probably wasn't the case. And so together, we had to learn how to work out as a family, that as we welcomed out the outsiders in, we had to learn how to love them. They had to learn how to love us. We had to learn how to build a relationship. We had to learn of our different ways of seeing things and doing things. We had to learn that God loves all of us, and it wasn't just our family's love for us. And I believe this is a message for us at Core Church. Jesus wants us at Core to be a church that welcomes the outsiders in. And what was very encouraging when I first arrived was seeing those doors, those glass doors. Because what I love about those doors, it gives us a view into the community, and it gives the community a view into us. And even before I came here, as I was praying and waiting on coming here, the Lord said this to me, this kind of little saying. Those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside, reaching out. And you see, through those doors, there's those looking into us as a community. And God's intention is that those on the outside will come in to God's plan on the inside. So the word becoming, so we're becoming, in other words, those on the outside looking, becoming those on the inside reaching out. So those on the outside looking in, God's intention is they become part of God's plan to reach out. You see? And so I couldn't believe seeing those doors there. It's exactly what God has shown me. So God's intention is that the outsiders will become insiders. God's intention is the outsiders will become full members of God's family. God's intention is that they would come here on equal terms. God's intention is that all would be blessed as those as son, as sonship. God's intention is that they would no longer be excluded but included. God's intention is that they would become part of our family in the church and reaching out to those who do not know God yet. And so Paul presents himself through the anointing of God as the one who God had called to preach to the Gentiles. But he understood the importance in preaching to the Gentiles. He had to take on the nature and character of Christ. He says this, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. And so it says in Corinthians, it says this, this is about Paul, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. And so Paul becomes a servant because he knows that through this God would reveal himself to us. In Paul's ministry gives an insight into what our ministry is all about. Jesus came as a servant. He said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Paul, it says that God reveals himself through his servants. God reveals who he is, his character, by those who are called to serve. God reveals himself through the humble. It says, although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. And I heard of a story I read the other day, and I think it's easy to do the bigger ministries, isn't it? It's easy to be in a place of profile. It's easy to be in a place where people notice. But the thing about Jesus is he notices things we do not see. He sees people who serve in this church quietly. He sees those who go out there and pick up quietly their needles. He sees those people out there who clean up at the beginning of services. He sees those who put the water at the front. He sees those who are looking after children. He sees those who are in ministry after ministry into ministry. We don't see them here today, do we? But they're doing what God has called them to do in the quiet places. It says this: a young Englishman once came to live in a community led by Gandhi. When assigned to clean latrines, he protested, "Don't you know who I am? I have great things to do." Gandhi replied, "I know you can do great things. What I don't know is if you can do little things." And so Paul gives us an insight into the ministry that he was called to and the ministry that we are called to. God has called us to be servants, to use our gifts through God's grace and power in order to bring those who are on the outside in so they can become part of us reaching out. And Paul administered his gift not through his own strength and ability, which is immense, incredibly gifted man. If you read his writings, extraordinary insight. Obviously a well-respected man in his society, but he decided to lay all that down to administer his gift to God's grace and God's power. And it's the weak things that God uses to show his power. It's the weak things that God uses in order to bring us revelation of God. And it's not the most able that God's looking for. It's those who love him and want to serve him. Because he can give you the power and the ability to do what God's called you to do. That's not the difficult bit. It's having people willing to take what they've got and to make it available to God and his kingdom. Paul says this: "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." So it wasn't by clever words, it wasn't by persuasive speech, but it's by God's power that God revealed himself to his people and us and you and me. So why does the church exist? Verse 10 says this: "His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so, God's manifold wisdom is made known through the church. It's accomplished through Christ. But God uses his church in order to bring revelation of God's salvation plan. It's through you and me, it's through us, that God has chosen to reveal to us God's plan, his salvation plan. You and me are part of God's plan, do you know that? God has called us to be part of that. I think it's an incredible thing. And it's through us that God reveals his manifold wisdom. It's through us that God has chosen to reveal these mysteries. And it's through Jesus Christ that we've been called to make known that outsiders are to be welcomed in. We have great authority to know that God has called us as outsiders into his promises. And now he wants us to be those who reach out to those who at the moment are on the outside. And so the vision for CORE is this: that those on the outside looking in will become those on the inside reaching out. I want this church to be a church that welcomes in the outsider. I want this to be a church, the character of God's people will reflect that of Jesus. That we learn how to serve. We learn humility. We learn to exercise our gifts through God's grace and God's power. that we become a welcoming community where outsiders are welcomed in. We become a community that is committed to fulfill that which God has called us. And this is the bit which I'm going to read to you now. This is the commission that God has given us as a church, to reach out to those outside. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And it's God's intention that we become commissioned with God. That we can take the Father's love out into the community. Jesus was anointed, and we are anointed, to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release prisoners from darkness. And the Lord's favour is upon this ministry, because it is Jesus' ministry. And as we begin to reach out, and as we begin to serve, and as we begin to reach out to those who are on the outside, we will become those used by God to rebuild, restore, revive our church, our communities, our city, and beyond. See, Jesus welcomed in the outsider. Jesus went to those on the outside of society, the lepers, the prostitutes, the blind, the lepers, etc., the women caught in adultery, those who had been marginalised by society. And by God's love and grace, he restored them and brought them into God's plan. So from those who had been shamed by what they had done, could then become glorified by God and could point people to who Jesus was. And so we've been called to be rebuilders, to be restorers, to revive our church, our community, our city and beyond, to welcome in the outsider. And through God's power, they will become with us, reaching out. And so these are the four things which I'm going to be speaking about over the next few weeks. That God's intention is that the outsiders will be welcomed in. God's intention is that worship will be the centre of everything. And I call this, worship will be the sign. And the worship of Jesus will be at the centre, and Jesus will be the foundation on which we will build his house. Because we're called to worship Jesus with everything we have, and then to learn to love our brother and sister with everything we have. God has also called us to be a community of transformation. God wants to transform us as a people by the power of his Holy Spirit, so that we can take on Christ's character of servanthood, humility, and grace. You see, transform people, transform community. And that's what God wants to do with us. As he transforms us, wherever we find ourselves, we cannot help but be those who transform those situations. And God wants to turn us inside out, so there will be those who will be reaching out to those within our community. And so today my message is that God wants to welcome the outsiders in. Each one of us here at one stage was an outsider. But through God's grace, he invited us in, revealed Jesus to us. By the cross and his blood, brought us in to the promises of God, so that we too could be one with all the thing, all the inheritance, all the things, as one who has the same rights as God's family. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that through Paul's ministry, you revealed to him the mystery that had not been revealed long ago, but at that particular period of time. It was your intention that not only were you going to reveal yourself to the Jews, you're going to reveal yourself to the world. You say, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come in order to bring each one of us into relationship with you. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us to be a community that welcomes in those who are outside. There will be a community that welcomes and loves those who may be different from us. Thank you, Lord, by your grace, that we can do this. I know that in my own life, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would be with us, anoint us, excite us, Lord, with your mission and your call upon us, the church, to reach those on the outside who will become those. So those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside, reaching out. Amen.
Well, let's finish off this morning as we started with some sung words.